All right, the Lord is good. If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's open our Bibles again to the book of John chapter 3. I want to start from there today. In fact, I have a number of verses or portions of the Bible I would like to read. Just wondering which one we should start with. Let's start again from that book of John chapter 3. No, let's start from the book of Isaiah chapter 45. Then we'll just refer to that John chapter 3 briefly. It's good to go here and there reading the Word of God. I just want to pick a number of important verses here. We're not going to read everything. Just a few verses do I want. Let's just start from verse 1. And why I want to start from verse 1 actually is because I want to just read some of the things that the Lord does. So thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. That's what he's saying to Cyrus. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by your name. I have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. Now, notice verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. Actually, this is why I'm reading this. I am the Lord. That is, I'm going to do all of these things in your life. I want you to understand something. Verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising of the to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. He said, I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all this. I'm going to stop reading this portion here. Notice what he said there. I am the Lord who does all this. Now, one of the things you will learn from the Bible is to check two things. In fact, that's what I began to do as we've been meditating on this over the last many weeks. After teaching last Saturday here, I decided, I told my wife, there is a risk. Many times people hear things, but they don't take it to heart to obey them. Many times I tell people, when you get home, say to your house, peace be upon this home. I wonder how many people remember to do it. It's very important. To hear the word is one thing, to obey it is another. That word must be kept in your heart until it produces obedience. Until the obedience comes out, the blessing in the word is not manifested. Bear that in mind. No matter how much you love the word, no matter how much you think you are paying attention to it, the word has to fill you up to a level that it erupts. And the eruption, two areas. One is in your words, and number two, in the actions you take based on the words you have heard. Until you do those actions, no matter how much you seem to be convinced and love that word in your heart, the blessing in the word is denied you. Are you getting my point here? Very, very important. All right, that just by the way. So just why I went to do that is this. So many times, you know, we began to teach here. And then I'm talking about this name of God thing off and on for some time. And this Pursuit of God series, we now began to look in details again about it, into it. And last time I said to people, look, read your Bible to know the acts of God. Not just for the act's sake, but for the God of the act's sake. That is, the God who did those things. Read the Bible to know his name. And last week, earlier on this week, I began to do it. I took my Bible, I began to mark it. I started from Genesis, I also went to Revelation. My wife came yesterday, said, I found one for you. Is that from Deuteronomy or something? You were telling me about it. And I said, let me find how to mark my Bible, mark everything. And so that sometimes I'll just sit down and start jumping from verse to verse. And what am I marking? The places where God is called any name at all. and a place where his deeds are ascribed to him. Now, you see what I'm trying to say here? You see, that's the most important thing I have found out in recent times, that we believers must get out of the scriptures. We must know, you know, I've said it again and again. Last time I actually spent a lot of time explaining it, that Christianity is receiving from God. It's not how to do something. It is how to receive from him. You know, just like you said now, can you believe somebody said, why should I be sick? After all, I gave something so valuable like this to the church, that is, as to God. Somebody lied to that individual. They said, you will do something for God, and then God will be provoked, as he's in a worry man. God will be provoked to come and bless you. You know, I don't know how much you minister to that individual. I hope you were firm in it, that this is the reason why you are sick. God has to let you know that that is not the offering. I hope you said it straight like that. We now know, of course, we knew from the beginning it didn't work like that. I'm about to get distracted. Let me not go into that area. Let me just stop there. So we have realized that that's not the truth. The truth is that Christianity is how to receive. When we come to him, we don't have any claim beyond the fact that we know he promised and he's a faithful God and we have believed. That if we come to him and say, Lord, see our hands open. You say you will do it in our lives. You say you have done it, we believe it, we say amen. That's what Christianity is. It is not what to do so that God will be provoked to bless me back. No. Christianity is that God has packaged all his blessings. And we discussed it last time, that what is now demanding of us is focus on me. Focus on me. Know me. And when I talk about know me, you know, before we wonder, how can you know God? Is it that he's going to be your friend, you hang out, you share a bowl of pepper soup, you know, and some drinks together? No, that's not how it is. How you get to know him, and we saw it with the life of Moses. In that Exodus 33 into 34 that we read, Moses said, God, let's get very familiar. I want to see you. And God said, all right, what we're going to do is this. The physical manifestation is not what you need. You cannot see my face in that regard and leave. So you are going to have some physical manifestation. You will feel my mighty hand pick you up, put you in the crack of a rock and cover you. Then I'll pass by and you'll see my effect. But this is my face that you actually need. And God was passing and he began to declare his name, the Lord God, the merciful God who forgives iniquity. And he talked about it. And by knowing those names or that name of God, he got to know the face of God. We have been talking about that. Christianity, that's why this Bible is so important. Have it, hold it, read it, obey it. Are you getting my point? Most importantly, focus on it, read it, and look for, that's what I was talking about, the obedience. Because I heard myself preach. I told my wife, let me not miss the blessing. I heard myself preach these words, let me obey it also. Let me go into my Bible and find out the names of God, the acts of God, the deeds ascribed to his name. Listen, that's what he wants. Ascribe to the Lord greatness. Ascribe to him the deeds. Are you getting my point? The glory that is due his name. And you cannot ascribe to him except you read through the scriptures and understand it. And when he's talking about knowing God, that's what he means. Know what God is in your life. Are you getting my point? Know where he is in your life. And each time, there's some scriptures I want to read. You will see these people, God will speak to a man like Abraham, a man like Isaac. After that, you will hear that they built an altar and gave the altar the name of the Lord. They called the altar Jehovah Nissi. That this is a God, our banner, the Lord our banner. Why? He said he will continually fight the Amalekites until he has wiped them out because of us. So they gave the altar a name. And what does that altar signify? It's a recognition of who God is in their lives. So that altar, anytime they see that altar, and that altar literally, it's a pile of stones upon which they offered an offering. It is there. And so as an Israelite is passing, he will see that pile of stones and he will remember the name of God. And once he calls, and I'm going to read that again. Once he calls upon that name, there is a manifestation of the power of God that he will experience constantly. That is the effort. We talked about it last time, that we must pursue this eternal life. Jesus said in that John chapter 17, when he was praying for them, this is eternal life, that they will know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Those are the two persons we are supposed to know, and they are one. You will look at the face of Christ, you will discover God the Father in him. Now, please, I'm going somewhere. So why that is Isaiah chapter 45? God said here, I am God. He said, I'm going to do things in the life of Cyrus. Why am I doing those things in the life of Cyrus? He said, I want you to know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. There's a name inside there, a number of names. It's also said, if you go down to verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will guard you, though you have not known my name. Go to verse 6, that men may know that from the rising of the sun, God wants them to know something. From the rising to the setting of the sun, that there is no one besides me. I want them to know. If they don't know it, they go mad. If they don't know it, calamity comes into their system. If they don't know it, a man will wake up in the morning and says he's in love with another man. That's just the way it is. And they start fighting for the right to marry themselves. If they don't know it, that I am God and there is no other, one day they will wake up and natural disasters will wipe them out. If they don't know it and acknowledge it, what will happen is that they will wake up and a man will take a gun and start shooting his neighbor. If they don't realize it, why did God do this? He said, I need you to know I am God and there is no other. Listen, how do you describe that true God now? He has one name by which you must describe him first and add everything to him. What is that thing you must describe? Who is the true God? He is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. That is the only name he recognizes first of all. Before, in this dispensation, you can add anything to him. He doesn't want to hear, I am God of Abraham. He doesn't want to hear you describing first of all as the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob and the God of Israel. Those are names he doesn't like to hear. Before you use those names, you must first recognize him as God, the Father of the Lord Jesus. If anybody tells you, all religion is the same, tell them that until you recognize that the God we are talking about is God, the Father of the Lord Jesus, you have not yet properly acknowledged him. It's only after you have done that, you can call him Creator God. That name God, you must understand, everybody lays claim to it. So there must be identity concerning the God you are talking about. Everybody lays claim to it. That's under the law and the prophets, the old dispensation. That's a good expression there. Under the old dispensation, to the Jews, he will call himself God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he has united everybody under one name now. And that is the name of Jesus. We must recognize him and describe him properly. That's why you read the book of Acts. You have heard of Jesus, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then, look, you have to hear of Jesus so that you can describe God properly. That's a matter of fact. Are you getting my point? Because everybody claims to be God. So under the old dispensation, he called himself the God of Abraham. He called himself the God of Isaac. He called himself the God of Jacob. You know why he did that? Those were people they recognized. God will not have, listen, come to Africa then and come to Enugu and say, who the people? I am the God of Abraham. They believe, what did you say? I am the God of Isaac. They will look like, nah, which one will be Isaac? Are you getting my point? Those are statements that will cause confusion to somebody who is not a descendant of Abraham or an associate of Abraham. It's a cause of confusion to them. Are you getting my point? So what he does each time is to walk with somebody and describe himself by that name. Because everybody will try to lay claim to God, who God is. Let me give you an example. God shows us here that he used Cyrus, anointed him. Cyrus did not even know who he was. Are you getting my point? Now what will now happen is simple. After some time, Cyrus will probably get up like Nebuchadnezzar before him. Is this not Babylon the Great? That I, God, that's it. He becomes God. I built with the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty. Do you know Darius? Now, there's a confusion of which one of them is Cyrus and Darius. Sometimes the names are used interchangeably. Sometimes they refer to different people. There was a time Darius, they came and told him, you know you are the God that does these things. He said, how do you know? Ah, sir, we know God when we see one. How do I know the story? That is the story of, the lion's den. Daniel. It was the story of the lion's den. That was how Daniel ended up in the lion's den. What happened? I will tell you, this was what happened. The men came and said, let nobody pray to any other God apart from you for 30 days. It was an experiment. They threw down a challenge. Why? They came to the king and said, you are God. You have power. And even he was surprised. Ah, hey, a whole God does not even know his God. What's going on here? They said, sir, my Lord, let me prove it to you. So the people in his kingdom, they were supposed to pray to him and watch out for results. Until today, we still do it. I mean, there's no disrespect. That's how Catholics prove that somebody is a saint. Somebody must pray through the person and see two credible miracles that the fellow is canonized. That's also happened then. The same thing. And what was God trying to say here? Many times when I do things, people start getting confused as to who did it. And once they start getting confused as to who did it, the generation comes into their system. So that's why I told Cyrus, I have done all of these things, and I want you to know that I am God, there is none other. You did not do it. Your gods did not do it. Your might did not do it. Your power did not do it. That's what I'm trying to say. God wants us to know him and ascribe to him the greatness due his name. Please, I hope you're following me here. So that's why he came here and said, I am God, there is none other. Now, there's an important thing here. Why would he be saying that? Because many people try to pretend to be. Nebuchadnezzar mistakenly thought he was. There's one film I saw many years ago. I can't remember the name for sure now, but also it's based on Greek mythology. I think it was one of these, well, it became a Greek god later. He was a warrior, a king. One day he defeated one of the nations, and he went and bragged on the seashore. He said, I, Odysseus, I'm a powerful warrior. I know, he said, listen, you gods, I do not need you now. What was he saying? I am God in this situation. Sometimes many gods are there. They don't mind sharing the glory. Are you getting my point? For example, Odysseus realized that he was not the god of thunder. Odysseus realized that he was not the god of the wind. But he said, the god of battle, that is me. But God said, I am God, there is none other. You see, what are you talking about? In your life is very practical. These are practical things. Many times, you know, sometimes when I hear, listen to this, very important. When I hear Christians make decisions, I hear it all the time. What are you doing? Ah, let me go to where I can make it in life. What you are saying, listen to me, this is a matter of fact. What you are saying is geographical location is God for prosperity. Listen to me, if you are listening to this, wherever you are listening to me from, if you made a career choice, a location choice because of prosperity, you have ascribed the God of prosperity, the name, to a physical place. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Let me tell you one thing God likes to do for his children. Disappoint them. You apply for a job, good job. You are so qualified for it. But God looks at your heart. He says, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. So he knows why you are doing what you are doing. You have made up your mind. Mobile is God when it comes to prosperity. So you apply, you study, you do everything. MTN is God when it comes to prosperity. You call everybody that you know that's connected, that knows somebody that is there, who has, do you understand my point? And you know, even you, you'll be surprised. Has God ever collected something from you before? He has collected things from me before, many times. Some of them I volunteered and I offered him, said, do you want it? If you want it, let me know. And I went to sleep or whatever. I woke up and the thing was gone. And I looked for it and I didn't find it. And I smiled to the Lord, you took it. Thank you very much. It's okay. Sometimes valuable things. It's very easy to pray that God, if you don't like this, you understand, take it. It's not a joke. He does collect, he answers those prayers. He has answered me many times. In fact, I can remember them in this life. He has answered me many times. Sometimes God comes out to disappoint his children. Why? He realizes something inside their hearts. He's saying, this is God. So he comes to them to say, I am God and there is none else. This is a very important issue. Because there are so many small, small gods crawling around. Sometimes the certificate in your hand, you give it a small title, God. God of prosperity. God of breakthrough, God of increase. Many people listening to me, that is why everywhere you have applied the job for, with that certificate, you haven't gotten it. The certificate is not bad in itself. But when you start looking at it, it's God. God said, for this boy, doesn't get the point. Certificate is just proof that you went to a school. It doesn't mean you did the right thing, though. Oh, no, it doesn't mean you did the right thing. Some certificates are proof that you are a disobedient child. Yes. Anytime God looks at that certificate, said the angel, see that certificate? Anytime you see it, know this boy, know the hear word. The day you repent, the house will burn, and the certificate will go with it. It happens. One of the major things that God does for his people is frustration. The Lord just one morning call some angels. Anybody in a frustrating mood today, two angels will say, yes, sir. See that girl? Frustrate her for me. So, you know, the Lord is very good. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He's a good God. He never, ever does anything bad to his children. So anything that appears bad is a good thing he's trying to do. It will look bad. It's a good thing he's trying to do. Sometimes some people are so smart. They think their intelligence is the key to breakthrough. There's no interviewer we attend. If I open my mouth, they will know I'm smart. My sense is God. My brain is God. My God can open doors for me. So God said, now foolishness. You know, foolishness is bound up where? In the heart of God's children too. Not only human children. God's children too have foolishness. So God said, I will never leave you alone. When God said, I won't leave you or forsake you. People think that it only means that I will always protect you. God means that if you ever misbehave, I will never forget to beat you. I will never leave you or forsake you. No, I can prove it. He says that he that the Father loves, he does what? He chastises. So when he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, as long as I'm your father, get ready. We'll just tell some angels, you see that girl? Say, yes, frustrate her for me. Everywhere you get to, and raise your shoulder with your certificate, or with your brain, your intelligence. Young man, you go for an interview. Young woman, as soon as you finish talking, and you are so happy you performed well, a spirit will possess the chairman of the panel. And that spirit will just make him ask, where are you from, sir? Say, I'm from Enugu. Eh? Which part of Enugu? Is an Enugu man, no? He say, I'm from Oji River. The man says, Oji River, which family is your own? You don't know what is going on. One spirit is provoking him. He is reminding him of his friend he trusted, who they went into business together. And after they signed the deal and signed everything, money began to flow in. The boy disappeared with the first installment of everything they made. And you don't realize, I know, oh, the spirits. Sometimes they finish, you leave, and you're feeling very happy. You say, God is so good. You know, he's even an Enugu man I met there. Praise the Lord. When they are considering, say, oh, that young girl, that young guy did very well. Yeah, everybody says yes. He said, my brother, I don't trust these Oji River people. That's the end. You'll be looking at yourself. You will be, when the day the result is coming out, you are so sure. You just get there. They look at it, they didn't take you. They wanted to employ. And when God wants to do you in, He'll make sure that you are only 6 that applied for the job and they took 5 people. You are the 6th person they did not take. You know what he's trying to prove to you? I am God and there is no... Don't learn wrong lessons from it. Everyone has said, this country, there is so much, you can't call it tribalism. Both of you are from Enugu. What will you now call it? Now there's Oji Riverism. You won't know what else to call it. The fact that God said, let me frustrate a child of mine whose eyes are locked in the wrong place. That's what I said to us before. Anytime anything that appears like strength that you have is showing up as confidence, is building confidence in you, don't just ignore it. Carry the thing. Say, Lord, you know I'm strong in this area. You know I'm very smart. You know I have a PhD in this area. You know, this is the key to breakthrough as far as human beings are concerned. I want to repent before you that in fact, this is reason why I should fail. Say it clearly to him like that. And say, I'm asking for breakthrough, Lord, so that, at least, based upon your love, give him things that you know from scripture, that is because you are God. My certificate is not God. Like I keep on telling people, the reason why you have a certificate is simply to prove that you went to school, and the reason why you went to school is because you went to learn. You know, I've heard stories of those who did not, but they have, in fact, good story, Ajilu Tuno. He didn't have a certificate. He said, I'm a self-taught engineer. Maybe he couldn't get a job in Mobile. Maybe Julius Berger would not have given him a job if he applied today. But he built a company that in today's dollars would have been worth billions of dollars. Why? He had the learning. So that's all. Just go and learn. But after that, you don't keep your eyes on anything you have as a key to breakthrough. So that's why God said, I am God and there is no other, in that verse 5. Why is he emphasizing that? Because many things pretend like they are God. A country rises up, pretends to people like it is God. There are many gods of prosperity. There are many gods of the future of children. You know, like, apostles, you know what they call the God of future of children? This is where your wife deliver for Nigeria. You are not serving the God of the future of children, the fake God. What is the fake God? People want to have children. And they are see, like I keep on saying, you can have your children anywhere you like. But you must not utter a word of blasphemy when you are doing that. You want to deliver in Burundi, fine by me. If your wife is pregnant, and you decide that the place where my wife should deliver is Bujumbura, that's in Burundi. If you decide that it's Kathmandu, fine. Anywhere you like, there's no problem. You say, why? I want my wife to be seeing the mountains as she's in labor. Fine. That we always dreamt of the white-capped mountains. It will just make labor more interesting. And God has given you money that you have nothing more serious to do with it. Go. It shall be well with you. Mm-hmm. But this is blasphemy. To say I'm doing this to give my child an opportunity in life. You have sinned and you need to repent. Let us call a spade and stop pretending that they are all agricultural equipment. You know, you getting my point? Call a spade, or like somebody said in an, is it NMPC? They call it manual digging machine. Why? They want to quote for 100,000 for one spade to steal government money. Instead of calling it a spade, they say it's a manual digging machine. What else was it going to be before? Let's call a spade the spade. Human beings wake up every morning just be blaspheming. The country your child was born in can be the reason why that child will be mediocre for life if he does not repent of the foolishness of the parents. What I've told you is not a joke. If you want your children to prosper in life, God, listen, we have sat down and analyzed the scripture again and again and again and again. I was telling one story, one of our brothers told me, watch that. Stevie Wonder, he talks on a program called 20 Feet from Stardom. And Stevie Wonder looked and said, listen, after looking at everything, that is, let me summarize using my own words. I have seen extremely talented people who were backup singers for singers, you know. They are there in front. That is, the stars are in front, and this fellow is behind. That's why I said 20 Feet from Stardom. And they did this for years. They could not launch their own album successfully. They are very good. Then you see out of nowhere, somebody who is not half as good releases an album. And the whole world is dancing to the music and the thing is selling in tens of millions. He said, it is as if stardom is giving to you. That's what he said. I said that the other day that if you live long enough, my pastor used to say, you will discover the word of God. Stevie Wonder looked at it and discovered time and chance happens to all men. Just looking at the music industry. I quoted for you what Harrison Ford said. He said, no one can rightfully take credit for anything. He said, there is luck and there is grace. He said this because he hit stardom as an actor after he gave up. He tried it for years. It did not work. He became a carpenter. And then one day they offered him a role. He did the role, and that one he hit. He said, no one can rightfully claim credit for anything. The best footballers are still in their villages. I hope you know that. No, that's a matter of fact. They are not in the European League. Messi is not the best player in the world. He's not. I still remember the days of Marco van Basten. Young guy, 20-something. Terrific player. Then somebody injured him. He never recovered from it. All these laws of somebody's moving, you can't tackle, they wrote it because of Marco van Basten. He's a terrific player for Holland. Then one World Cup, they tackled him wrongly and the knee never recovered. Many of you have never heard of Marco van Basten. You started watching football recently and said, what is Marco? Marco what? The best footballers are still at home. They are still at home. They are coaching secondary school and they are not being paid regularly. And they will look at, give me one Nigerian reigning guy. They look at Mikel Obi and say, Mikel, now wow. And you remember that when they were playing in secondary school, Mikel did not meet the first 11 of their secondary school, this thing. But look at it now. Then those who do not know, they will now go and go to an ignorant DB wearing a suit, pretending to be a prophet. And I will now say that there are destiny destroyers holding your destiny down. Needed in the city, but tied in the village. Escape from witchcraft port. You've seen all of those posters. You'll be telling them lies. Those guys will now turn around and say, Satan is God and there is none other. He's the one that has the power to hold back my destiny. A witch is God in that area. She is the one that has the power to hold back my destiny. And when I get up and start binding the power of witches, and they pray, but anytime they pray, you hear the word witch, enemy, 50 times before you hear God once. Listen, if you want to check whether you are praying to God or you are fooling yourself, check the number of times you describe God and the number of times you describe your problem in your prayer. If the number of times you describe God, I don't care whether you are rebuking the problem. If the number of times you describe God is less than the number of times you describe your problem, then you are praying wrongly. As I begin to pray, any power fighting my destiny, die by fire. It's a very stupid prayer. Check how people pray in the Bible. They started with, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? They started by magnifying the name of God. Do you know where your placenta is? And it's prayer you want to start. I like one thing, Corey Blake and some other ministers have said different times. Stop talking to God about your problems. It's enough. Start talking to your problems about God. I was teaching here, advice some time ago, start this practice. I do it off and on. I remember sometimes, I forget sometimes. Just sit down and start talking about God. Let's give money as a practical example. If you're broke, look for the last alert from your bank, email or text alert. Take that as a sign of your bank account. And don't talk about God, this is the end of the year of my suffering. This suffering is too much. I suffered last year. I suffered the year before. My grandfather suffered. My father suffered. I heard that my auntie also suffered. Suffering has been in my family. This suffering will not kill me. There's an end to suffering. I've said suffering like 8 times now. You heard the word God once. Say, I'm going on a 40-day fast so that this suffering will come to an end. There's no harm. I must overcome this suffering. This suffering is too much. This is the year of my breakthrough. This suffering is too much. It must come to an end. Any power binding myself, my suffering. Is it binding my suffering? Any power withholding my freedom. This year, evil here is altar versus altar. I want you to know. Have you seen all of this talk? You've not mentioned the name of God 2 times. Just once at the beginning. What should you do? You look at that account, say, let's talk. You don't hold the power. The power belongs to God. He is God and there is none else. A job is not God. My natural skill is not God. Human connection is not God. Prosperity comes from God. He is the God that makes prosperity flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. He is the shepherd. He is the supplier. He is my father. He is the one that sent Jesus, my Lord, to die for me. Let me tell you about Jesus, my Lord. He was rich. Yet, for my sake, he became poor, so that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. You have talked about God 10 times. You have not mentioned the problem once. And believe me, bank accounts have ears. The major problem I've seen in today's Christianity is that people are taught to ascribe the name God to witches. And that's why people are more afraid of witches than they are of God. That's not a joke. Most, look, average Christians who go to all these fire churches, they have more respect for witches than they have for God. That's not a joke. Why are you sick? The witches say I should be sick. Why are you sick? They are fighting my destiny. Why is it that breakthrough has not come? Those who are the destiny withholders, we are going to fight them. What you have said without realizing that you have said clearly, those people have power over your life more than God has. Meanwhile, God said, guys, listen, I am God and there is none else. That's the reason why God had to introduce himself. Because many things are pretending. The other day we preached about magnifying the Lord. And what provoked it that time was that I got tired of hearing people magnifying Islamic headsmen. Islamic agenda. I found out at a point in time, more Christians were more afraid of Islam. Instead of them be feeling sorry for people who are in darkness, they were afraid of them. So every little thing, the God that can kill our destiny is about to kill us, as far as they are concerned. They now tell you, you know, annoying stories. They start annoying your system. What do I mean by annoying your system? Turkey was a Christian country. And then Islam came and took it over. Christians need to arise and unite and make sure Buhari does not win the election so that Jonathan can win. Why? Because Turkey was a Christian country. They start telling you, oh, in Asia Minor. And you know the truth? No lie in it all. Paul, they'll tell you where Ephesus is in Turkey of today. They'll tell you of Philadelphia that Jesus talked about is in Turkey of today. They will tell you, they'll mention all of those things for you. They're all in Turkey of today. What happened? Many years later, it's an Islamic country. Why? Are we going to let it happen in Nigeria? Christians who join politics will now stand behind a Christian candidate. Woe to him who trusts in flesh. Yeah, that's the word of God. That's why Christians have war all the time when they start trusting in things like that. What are they saying? When you make statements like that, you are saying Islam is God. Their God is God. And not God the Father of our Lord Jesus. You say, Banky, what are you saying? I'll tell you. Islam did not take over Turkey. God gave them up. And Jesus warned them. He said, go back and do the works you did at the beginning. Otherwise, I will come and remove your candlestick. When he removed it, every other thing came inside. It's when Ica has budded that they can walk inside. It's true. You know what they call Ichabod? Yes. While the glory abides, nobody will come near. It's when God has rejected people that they come and take over. It is not like they have power. If God has not rejected the people, it is not possible they can't take it over. Those stories, are they okay? Up to a level. Know what to do. What are you supposed to do? Go to the book of Revelations. He said, one, I'm not going to read them in details now. One of the things he said, love one another. Stop tolerating wrong doctrines. If you find Jezebel in the church pretending to be a prophet or prophetess, expose her and drive her away. Excommunicate those who commit adultery, whatever that thing was supposed to mean, with her. Drive them away from the midst of you. Love one another. Stand in the time of trial. Make sure your faith does not fail. Do that, nobody's taking over Turkey. Why? Because he is God and there is none else. That's why he said to Israel, how can one chase a thousand? And when he was saying it, we must get the context. He was saying that when Israel will sin against me, I will give them over into the hands of their enemies. He said, you will now see one enemy chase 1,000 Israelites, and two enemies will chase 10,000 of them. He said, why will one chase 1,000 or two chase 10,000? He says, because their God gave them up. So if you are quoting that scripture, that's what he was talking about. He said, how is it that the one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000? And many will flee at the sound of a few. He says, because their God gave them up. But those who don't know who the real God is, they now say, you know, that Satan is the God of this world. It means he's ruling everything. No, it doesn't mean it at all. Satan being God of this world means that's what this world is worshipping. That's who they are following. The earth remains the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and he remains the ruler in the affairs of man. The only person I've seen analyze that thing very well, two people now, I think I've seen Derek Prince also did that. Actually, I found out British preachers, you know, historically, that's what I've observed, they've been very, very good at analyzing scripture. American preachers are very, very sensational. Very, very sensational. They are inspiring, quite all right. They make you want to fly. But when you want balance in your life, turn to a British preacher. I heard David Pawson teach it. He said clearly, the only reason why Hitler, who killed 6 million Jews and other minorities and all of that, was because God gave them up. He said there was nothing Hitler did to the Jews that God did not promise. In fact, when he taught that, he said, God is a God who fulfills promises. That was the topic of his message. He wants to explain to you that God fulfills promises. He fulfills promises to bless, and he fulfills promises to curse. And when the time came, and they did everything wrong, according to the words that he gave to Moses, he said, there was nothing that Hitler did to them that God did not promise. Once, I was listening to Bible on CD, and the man narrating part of it, he said, when he was describing what will happen to them when the judgment of God comes against them, he said, the sight you will see will drive you mad. That's how he said it. And there is nothing that they saw, all right, that God did not describe. They saw things that made them mad. The many Jews who survived the camps, they were never normal again. Some of them finished, they didn't believe in God again. Many of them, they became atheists. They said, there is no God. He said, if there was a God, we said we are the people of God. Why was he not on our side? They didn't take their scriptures to see that this was what God said would happen. And it was not the first time it was happening. The Romans did it to Jerusalem 70 years after Jesus left them, according to the word of the Lord. When I was in David Pawson teach that thing, he said something which, of course, the way a lot of Christians, including him, analyze the promise of God to Israel and all of that, we differ a lot. We differ because I believe that any promise of God that you want to interpret, you must interpret in the light of Christ. Once I don't see you interpreting in the light of Christ, I know you don't know what you are saying. That's why I don't agree with many of them. But listen, there was something he said, which is the only person I've ever heard say it. And he was preaching, he said, what is the lesson for the Jews? He said, check the word of God, obey it, otherwise what happened to you in Germany will happen to you inside the land of Israel. He said it will happen again. You know, Christians talk as if Israel is so well protected now by America. Look, I said in my prosperity I will never be moved. That's what David said. When you get to that point, he said, listen, your foot is already about to slip. The same America that is defending you may become your tormentor tomorrow. So forget that thing. We are saying that it was not the devil. That's what we are trying to say. It was God the judge. He said, I am God and there is none else. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's not only good things he does. All right? For that reason, be careful that you do not ascribe the glory due to his name to anybody else. If God gives a man over to the power of witches, rebuke the witches from now till tomorrow, there's nothing you can do. But if a woman humbles herself under the mighty hand of God, then they can resist the devil. Are you getting my point? You have to first of all humble yourself. God is God. That's why he said, I am God, there is no other. Many things are trying to pretend to be God. And he said, my people, I want you to recognize my works in your life. I want you to know exactly who I am. Last time I explained it, that we need to go back and read our scriptures. Just see who God is. Just see the works he has done. So that when we turn around and want to pray about things, we don't start fighting people that don't have power. The power belongs to God. That's what I've been trying to teach to people. We need, because you see, that recognition is what I'm teaching today. He said we must go after it aggressively. In John chapter 6, we read it last time. He said, you seek me, not for, he said, because you've ate free food. Not because you have come to recognize that God indeed, I'm paraphrasing now, all right, is in me. Now, they were seeking. He said, labor, therefore, he said, for the food that endures to eternal life. And what I'm saying is that, that eternal life discovery, which we said is by the knowledge of God, it comes through labor. I was saying, in trying to obey the words I was teaching, I took my Bible, I began to underline. I began to underline parts of the scriptures that the works of God, all right, was described, and the name of God was described. I went to the book of Revelations, very interesting. When I got there, my people, I almost call Lord everything. Because, like, one in three verses, you will find God described again. Let me just give you a few examples. Last time we read Psalm 136. I'll just read a few. Then I'll go to something that I want to end with today. All right? Just to take it in context, let's start from verse 4. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Now, grace to you and peace from... Now, listen to this. He has begun to describe the name of God.